Welcome to Minority Corner.
With an Eke.
And James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, gay.
And ladylike.
I see you, lady. Look at you. Being all
shaking
ladylike.
That ass. Shaking that ass.
Shaking that dollars.
Yeah.
Shaking them dollars.
Give it to me.
Shaking those tatas.
For dollars.
For them dollars.
This week on Minority Corner.
What is she doing besides giving some money?
It is our second pledge drive episode. We're coming around the bend. We're coming up to new members. So we're doing that final push. And then we also got some goodies. We got that last part of the Ashley Nicole Black pledge.
That's right.
Pledge.
Is she pledging? She is our Kappa Beta. She's our Kappa Corner Corner. Kappa Kim Kwa Kim. What would be?
I like Kappa Kim Kwa. I'm gonna pledge to that Zorro.
Well, Ashley Nicole Black is pledging Kappa Kim Kwa Corner. Because happy 4Ks is too much if it's three. We do have the final two part.
Two or four.
There's no in between. So, yeah, we have the last of our Ashley Nicole Black interview from Full Frontal.
Thank you.
And it will be the complete in the series for those of you who donated to the Max Fun Drive and became subscribers. You'll get the full series.
Yes. And if you didn't donate, you have a missing set.
Yeah, so you better get up on it. What corner do you have for us?
I am going to be talking about Kal Penn and some of the things that he has faced as a working actor of color. We're going to cover some of that.
Okay.
And what else are you talking about?
Well, as promised, last week I bumped this because there was something else we needed to talk about in terms of biphobia and five reasons that you might be. But this week, I love bread. I love bread. You get a car and you get a car.
Yeah.
Well, not really. Maybe if you donate. Doing my Oprah Winfrey inspired. I'm gonna be your Oprah today. I'm going to be everyone's Oprah who's listening to you. So it's my OMO. Oh my Oprah. Breaking free of your limiting negative cocoon to create a life that you truly desire.
Yes. Can I be your Gale in that? I'll just be your Gale where I get to ride your coattails through that corner.
There it is. Better than my Stedman, because if it was Stedman, I'd be like, Stedman, where my purse? Stedman!
Yeah, I'm your friend. I'm not.
Stedman, what you wear?
Uh-oh.
Stedman, give me some bread.
But we also have one of our patented Minority Corner reviews going on.
Oh,
movie reviews.
Most importantly, you all wanted it. It's coming at ya. We've got a Minority Corner movie review coming at ya. And it is the classic.
Sophisticated.
It is a sophisticated, classic, legendary, award-winning.
Let's have them wait until we review it.
They're going to see it in the episode title.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Damn it.
Vampire in Brooklyn, baby. So let's do it. She's a vampire in Brooklyn.
Rawr.
Ooh, in a 90s kind of world. Ah. I'm glad I got Angela Bassett.
Yes. I see you, Bassett, doing that thing.
I see you. We're just going to welcome back, everybody.
Hey,
we have
so
much to cover. We are jumping into it. Y'all have requested a movie review. They like our movie reviews.
They do.
Like them.
Because we do really good ones when we go and see a movie together. This is our first movie review where we've been separate.
Coast to coast, watching it separate.
Yeah.
And we originally wanted, because we watch the movies, so y'all don't have to.
Yeah. Although, we just wait 20 years.
Just wait. So it's like we're retconning. We're going back in time, because we didn't have the podcast back in 1995.
We did not. Vampire in Brooklyn.
Well, originally, to backtrack, though, give you some backstory, we were trying to do Catwoman.
Yes, we were.
Halle Berry's Catwoman. Was not available on Netflix, so we were like, I'm not paying for that.
Yeah, we don't, If it's not free, then you can take a pee. I don't know. Does that rhyme?
Okay.
That works.
It works. If it's not free, take a pee. Do you
it's,
use that
you
when
know,
you go
school,
to like a
schoolyard, a little pigtail?
Schoolyard charm. So next time I go to a restaurant, I'm like going to go in and they give me my bill. I'm going to say, if it's not free, I'm going to pee. and we'll see where that gets me.
And they're gonna be like, where?
Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
Are
but
you?
Pay first. And then we were like, well, let's stick with the Halle Berry one because Aneke missed out on My Perfect Stranger.
I did.
And so I was like, well, she's got a new movie, Video on Demand, High Tide.
And I was like, okay, that sounds great. It's going to be terrible, probably, in an enjoyable, weird way.
It's weird because the movie had budget. Like, they were meaning for this to come out in screens. I saved Aneke because I watched half of it. It's 2 hours.
Oh, my God.
And she's essentially, like, the shark whisperer, and she's going, like, deep-sea diving. And can she go diving again after her friend got killed in this shark accident when they're trying to film this?
I'm bored by this recap.
This shark documentary. Anyways, back to the main event. Let's go back to 1995, everybody. And it is Vampire in Brooklyn, starring
Eddie Murphy
and Angela Bassett. And now, like, already,
literally every single bit player black actor that has been around since the 80s.
If you were a black actor and you made it from the transition from 80s to 90s, you were in this movie. So it also had, what's his name, John Witherspoon?
John Witherspoon. Who I have here in my notes, the black guy who is always old and yelling at people. Whatever happened to him?
That's what I pretty much wrote, too. He is always in all these black comedies. He's playing the dad or the uncle or the neighbor, and he is old and yelling. He was in Friday.
He's always old and yelling.
He was in the Wayans Brothers. He played the pop in Wayans Brothers.
Old and yelling.
Old and yelling. He just kind of disappeared. Is he still alive? John, are you listening?
Are you there? Same with Kadeem Harrison, who is also in that, who is from a different world. Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade with the flip glasses.
Yes.
And I think did he have flip glasses in the
movie? No. Everything else was flipping off of him because he played an undead man whose body parts kept flopping off and who got more urban, I'm going to say, as the movie went on.
That's true. You know, so like just to rewind for those guys, what is the plot of this movie? Essentially, take the plot of Dracula.
Yes.
And set it in, it's Brooklyn. Essentially black, it's essentially black, black Dracula, which don't you love back in the 90s? Brooklyn was like, if you set it in Brooklyn, that's how you knew it was black.
Yeah, like, now it's like super hip and like Williamsburg, white hipster.
Yeah, right? Like, it's like, and this is 1995, so it's just so funny because if you did Vampire in Brooklyn, you'd just be like hipsters and like, you know, Sally and Stacy and Becky and John.
Like, it would be like Portlandia's take on vampires. That's what I would think that it would be like instead of like doing the butt. Ow.
Sexy.
Vampires. Yeah.
Like this movie even had MC Hammer's hit We Got to Pray.
Yes.
We got to pray. Pray. We got to pray just to make it today.
And Eddie Murphy.
What was Eddie Murphy's vampire name in it?
I don't know, but he sure was sporting a lace front Jerry curl.
Can we talk about the wigs? The wigs, ladies and gentlemen, in this movie are pretty much the main character. The wigs. Everyone was in a wig in this movie.
Angela Bassett changed her wig in the same scene multiple times. It would be like she turns, the camera would cut, and she'd be in another ass wig. I'm like, the hair budget was huge.
Do you know, I did a little research on this too.
Yes.
So about the hair, the wigs, I was curious. Apparently, two things happened. Eddie Murphy claims the reason why nobody liked this movie was because his wig was so bad.
It's bad. You could see the lace glue.
And in some scenes, it's worse than others. Like, it's all I could watch was like, there's his lace. For those of you who don't know, a wig.
Help
a
the
wig
people.
Has a bit of like, it's got a little bit of like a lace front where you can see where it's attached.
Here. Yeah, so a lace front wig is when you want a natural hairline. So they add hair in, they sew it in so it looks like natural hair coming out of your head. You're supposed to cut that lace off to match your own natural hairline, but his extended way far and you could see where it was glued onto his fucking forehead.
You're supposed to cut that because otherwise you just see, oh look, there's that lace front. There it is right there. And then for whatever reason, someone was like, well, let's pop a wig onto Angela Bassett, who did play a detective that I did like that. Angela Bassett's like, I'm not playing no damsel in distress. And then she became a damsel in distress.
Can I read my notes real quick on the Angela Bassett? So I go, Angela's wig has changed 3 times in the last 10 minutes. Next one. When did Angela do What's Love Got to Do with It? Next one. 1993? Next one. This came after that? What the hell's going on? When did she do Strange Days? 1995? And then I go, Angela Bassett has the weirdest career in the 90s.
She really does. And would you believe she said yes to this, but turned down the role of Storm in X-Men?
Stupid.
Angela. Come on.
And now
girl.
She's doing Hello American Horror Stories.
She's like, my phone stopped ringing. Also, key point, let us not forget, this movie is directed by Wes Craven.
Yeah, that's the first note that I have. Wes Craven, !
What's so insane, because it's sort of like, okay, this movie's gonna be, it's gonna be scary, but have like, it's gonna poke fun at itself, but also be scary.
Kind of like an Evil Dead, I guess?
Yes, but the movie couldn't figure itself out. Like, it couldn't figure it out. Halfway through the movie, it decided, oh, wait, Eddie Murphy's here. It's a comedy, because halfway through the movie, yeah. Eddie Murphy is notorious for playing multiple characters in his movies.
Always!
Have you ever seen The Nutty Professor? Have you ever seen Coming to America? And if we're usually, like, they'll introduce that early on in the movie. Halfway through the movie, they're like, Eddie Murphy's gonna play a preacher. And it just got really, and he's a vampire, and he can't go into a church, and he holds a church sermon outside.
He also played that Italian guy. And I have to say, this movie has the worst Italian stereotypes I have ever seen in my life. Really, there's two characters, Tony and Anthony. Like, come on.
It is so bad. There is also a little haughty love interest. So the plot is Eddie Murphy is So Eddie Murphy is essentially trying to make Angela Bassett's character, it turns out, is half vampire. And he's trying to help her become... He's trying to help her become the vampire queen because, like, their species is, like, dying. And he's a vampire from the islands.
Yeah, so that's the other part. Eddie Murphy's accent is the weirdest fucking shit I've ever heard in my life.
His weirdest, worst.
Accent, contacts, wig. That's all you need to know about Eddie Murphy in this fucking shit.
In this movie. So insane. So he's trying to make her the vampire queen. And then this other backstory is that Angela Bassett's, like, mom recently died because she was, like, crazy. And then throughout the entire movie, Angela Bassett's like, am I crazy? Am I going crazy?
I'm going crazy. I gotta go out on this, the fire escape and paint.
Yes. Can we talk about two things? I want to talk about her painting, and I want to talk about her roommate, okay?
Yes!
So Angela Bassett also, mind you, she's a detective cop in Brooklyn, and for whatever reason, the neighborhood she walks on, the streets are always empty and just has that cloud of smoke.
It's like
She's always walking home from work. She doesn't drive home. She's a detective. You'd think she'd have a car, maybe.
It looks like a Michael Jackson video from, like, Bad or Black or White when he's smashing the cars. Yes. It's like Angela Bassett is walking down the block.
It actually is that set, and you can actually see part of Michael. He's actually filming. They're on the set. They double booked.
And like, Michael, you get...
And Michael's like, y'all just go ahead. I'll just be over here. Hey, Eddie, how you doing?
He's friends with Eddie Murphy.
Exactly. So Angela Bassett has a roommate, which, like, why is this, you know, grown-ass detective woman got a roommate? And the worst roommate ever.
The sluttiest, horniest roommate. She, and I'm not slut-shaming. You go you. No, you go you, lady. But
this is clearly written by a man.
I need to find... I wrote, oh shit, MC Hammer.
So Angela Bassett has this hottie, like, her love interest. It's her fellow detective guy. And they're like, you know, they're getting chummy. They're getting really chummy. And he walks her up to the apartment and then enter slutty roommate girl.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, hi, like purring, just like, I'm talking with my vagina at you right now, sexy man. Like, you're her roommate. You've never met this guy before. Like, what is happening?
What kind of roommate are you that would do that? And then, like, he gets freaked out. And he's like, oh, I gotta go. And Angela Bassett keeps being like, but I thought we were gonna have coffee. You don't want the coffee? I made the coffee.
Leaves at one point. She gets mad. And then she just goes in her room and shuts the door. And he's, like, with fucking vagina purr lady. And she, like, tries to have sex. And he's like, no. And leaves. He's like,
Oh, because she follows him outside.
Right.
She follows him outside. And then Eddie Murphy shows up after she gets dissed by him. And she's like, ooh, hey, I live right upstairs. Like, who would do that? You meet a man right off the street.
And like, then just like, oh, hey, I live right upstairs.
And then she gets murdered by him. And Angela Bassett thinks that she's having wild sex.
Which is
with the detective. She thinks she's having wild sex with a detective that she has a crush on. So then she goes outside to paint.
But before that, she stands by the door and listens to them have sex for like 10 minutes.
And she is ghastly appalled because remember, she is a church woman. She is a church woman. And she is like,
She's
also upset.
Oh my God. What?
She had a crush on him. So she is like, what? This is not okay. And so she goes outside to paint. She also paints visions of the future.
She does.
I think she like painted like her death or something. And then it happened.
With multiple paintbrushes in each hand.
Yes.
That's the thing she's that I don't understand.
And she was on her balcony, and that's why she was outside painting where the balcony was, where the train was running by, which is why she couldn't hear her roommate be murdered, where blood then comes out of the keyhole.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that because it's the weirdest shit. It's like she dies, but like it's just a little spurt out of the keyhole. And the best part is she leaves a note the next morning that's like, sorry, roommate, gotta move out. It was great. And Angela Bassett, who is a detective, was like, all right, that makes sense.
Where was the rest of the blood? Maybe Eddie Murphy glamored
it.
Maybe he glamored it. But there was no blood. Yeah. Not the best detective in the world. And then just to wrap it up, Angela Bassett. Oh, her run. Can we talk about Angela Bassett's run? There are several scenes where she is running. I can't even describe. Imagine just arms flailing.
Yeah.
Flailing about like a wild hurricane tornado. And she's in a tornado at one point running towards a church because she thinks, because Eddie's like, you're part vampire and I'm going to make you a vampire.
She's like, no!
And she just starts running all around the entire city and all the entire town. And she, several times does she run like this.
She is the most reactive person in this whole movie. She'll be like, hey, how's it going? Someone will be like, hey, you look hot. And she'll be like, shut the fuck up and slap him in the face. And then she'll be like, I'm sorry about that.
It's true. She's like, I'm just on edge and I'm Angela Bassett. And don't get me wrong. I love me some Angela Bassett. But she was... Everyone was in a different movie, I would say. Angela was in a different movie.
She was.
I think she forgot. It was Eddie was in a comedy for part of it. Angela was in What's Love Got to Do with It Part 2.
At one point, somebody says, ahoy, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's true. That is a good line. One of my favorite last words is that like she gets fired from her job because she's crazy.
Yeah, and, good. Because she's a terrible detective.
She gets fired, and then like her and the detective are about to kiss and make up or something. Mm-hmm. And then he says something stupid, and she's like, "I can't believe you." And then she goes to her apartment, and then Eddie Murphy shows up. He's like, "Hey, let's go on a date." And she's like, "Okay, I trust you now." Earlier, she knew him as a playa, and she's like, okay, fine. So she goes up into her apartment, gets changed. She's just been fired today, mind you.
And she's like, all right, let me just put on this gown.
This gown, hair did up. She's got no more wig. It's her hair, maybe with a little piece on top.
Oh, Death, there's a big-ass piece in there.
Big-ass piece. But it's much better. I don't know why they had her in that fucking wig.
She goes on this fucking... James. Okay, sorry, finish that one segment.
Nope, that's it. That's just my last little touch. Go see it. It's on.
No, James, we have to talk about the club scene because they go to a reggae club, and two, they don't know the difference between Africans and reggae and Caribbeans because they have people in like dashikis, and I'm like, what? Why is there a cobra in this fucking club? The whole tent scene is that a cobra is gonna bite Angela Bassett, and the dude rocks up and is like, oh, sorry, and grabs the cobra that he was, like, cooking. What the fuck?
Well, the cobra was in the cage because it was, like, for ambiance. But I don't think there's cobras in the islands. It just was clearly, this was a movie done by a white director and African-Americans, as in people who do not know their culture outside of, this is pre-Kwanzaa. No, Kwanzaa had existed, so there's no excuse.
No, Kwanzaa was there. It's just the 90s, and everybody loved Africa at that moment, and they didn't know the difference between reggae. And they loved Cool Runnings was big, so, you know.
That's true. I do also love the scene that there's like, there's clearly no music happening on in the background.
Yeah,
it's like when
and they're
her
just
and Eddie
like,
Murphy, her and Eddie Murphy are talking, yeah. and there's like no music on in the background, and everyone's pretending to dance.
Yeah.
Like, but then I realized it's because he apparently glamorized her, but you could like, why didn't they put like an extra sound effect of like,
you would think like, do-do-do-do-do-do.
Something. And instead, it just was like, there's no music being played. That's an awkward scene to be an extra
it's
in.
It's so weird. And why does Eddie Murphy have voiceovers? Like every once in a while, he'll be like, and then I was thinking about her the other day.
Yeah, isn't it? Do you know that he only agreed to do this movie to get him out of his contract with Paramount? He had one movie left to do,
So he's like, I'm going to do this shit.
He's like, fine, I'm going to do it. I don't know what happened with Angela. I don't know why she did this movie.
She just did What's Love Got to Do with It. That is like a movie she is still recognized for. Thank God, because they glossed over this one. Oof.
Yeah, everybody. So in fact, don't see it. Let's pretend this never happened. Just well,
go watch What's Love Got to Do with It
or Stella Got to Groove Back.
At one
waiting
point,
to exhale.
Eddie Murphy looks at the screen and goes, women.
He does. Oh, I think isn't that the moment when she's running away with
yes!
her arms flailing in
yes!
the air? Because he's like, you're going to be a vampire. And he eats, he like, you know, bites this like white woman running around in the Central Park. This white woman who, not Central Park, Brooklyn Park. I don't know. Prospect Park. And this white woman, she's alone. She just leaves a date in the middle of the park, and she's in a fancy, you know, rich lady dress. And then she goes up to Eddie Murphy's there, and she's like, but I believe in black. Well, she says something crazy, like, I believe in black people, or like, I'm pro. I believe in you.
Oh my God.
And then he bites her. And then Angela runs away screaming, and he's like, women.
Women. I know. Just like.
So
good. Watch it.
Take a look at it.
If your kids ask you what the 90s were like, just play that for them.
Because you know what? It's halfway through the 90s. It is the vortex of the 90s, essentially, that movie. People's careers.
Yes.
Who was hot.
Yes.
Who was not. Like, it's just everything. Everything
vampires.
What the 90s thought it was going to be and the turning point of everything about the 90s, Vampire in Brooklyn.
Oh, my God. It's so true. Because Do the Right Thing... mixed up with a little bit of Bram Stoker's Vampire, mixed up with a little bit of Diary of Vampire or Interview with a Vampire.
Mixed up with a little bit of BET, low independent, made for TV Sunday movie
Sunday
budget.
Movie. Oh, that was good. Well,
Angela, I'm glad you bounced back.
You
Eddie,
are doing good now.
Fix
Angela.
That wig.
Yeah. Angela Bassett is 59.
Yeah,
she
work
looks
it out.
Good. She was 37 in this movie.
And she has not aged since then.
She's a vampire. Break time.
Yes, it is our first pledge break. I just was so motivated to get up on in it. So,
yes.
As y'all know, if you were here last week and if you're just tuning in, welcome. It is the Max Fun Drive.
Yay.
So once a year, all of us podcasters, part of the Maximum Fun Network, get together and we ask y'all to donate and be a more deeper member of this podcasting community. Because lucky for y'all, we're a baby podcast and there are no
tiny babies.
There's no commercials at this point, right? But
none.
The Max Fun Drive goes to supporting things like this podcast and the Max Fun community running because, you know, what we do is important. And especially, you know, just a little shout out of what our goals are here. Last week we said to everybody that the goal was we wanted 10,000 subscribers, new subscribers and upgraded members. And I am pleased to announce that we have smashed that goal. By Friday of last week, we had already surpassed 10,000.
Do, 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 do.
So then we were like, well, shit, we still got another week, so let's up the ante. So now the goal is 20,000 new and upgraded subscribers. And we were actually, I just checked, we're at 16,000. So we're almost there.
We're more than halfway there.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So when you do donate, there's different levels that you can donate. And we're not just like, hey, give us your money. We're like, hey, here's some awesome gifts for you because you are just so awesome.
Fuck yeah, we're going to give you some swag. And throughout these pledge breaks, we're going to be breaking down the different things that you can get at each of the different levels.
Yeah.
So the first level is $5 per month, which is cheaper than a coffee, a fancy-ass coffee that some of y'all like to drink, me included.
Mm-hmm.
And with the $5 per month, you're going to be getting that bonus content, a.k.a. the third part of our Ashley Black, Nicole Black interview.
Complete the trilogy. Complete it up.
You know, for five fucking dollars. Oh, $5. I don't want to sound aggressive.
No.
You guys are
no,
great.
You're, no, but I was excited. You're like, five fucking dollars.
Yeah, like what a deal.
$5. $5 per month. $5. That's nothing.
That's a $5 footlong per month.
Per month.
And
yeah.
You can manage that. Okay.
You don't need to eat that anyways. And then at the $10 per month level, you get an exclusive enamel pin designed by Megan Lynn Cott, who's your friend.
She's my friend and she's the best.
Yes. And the pen says side eye your heroes and it's got little eyeballs that are side eyeing.
It's hella cute. Like some of our corner kids are already like super excited about this pen.
They've already got this pen. They're wearing it. They're sporting it. Yeah.
And then at the next pledge break, we're going to tell you what you can get at the $20 and the $35 levels.
Ooh, so stay tuned. So we are really hoping that y'all can join us and find a level that fits with whatever your wallet is, especially, honestly, at the $5, $10, $20, and $35 levels. And to essentially, you know, support art, culture, media, and information,
yeah.
I think more than ever, these podcasts and these communities are so incredibly important as we give facts. We give actual information.
Yes, we give facts. Uh-huh.
And I think these communities are a place for us to educate ourselves and also to create a safe space for ourselves as well, get information out there, and also learn other stories and things that we weren't aware of as we, I honestly believe, just to get a little spiritual on ya. I think we're headed towards a period of enlightenment. And I think conversation and dialogue, these podcasts, you're helping to support enlightenment by donating to the next fund drive.
Stretch your brain. And so you're probably wondering, how can I go donate?
How do you do it? How do you do it, Ineke? How do I donate my money? Is what Angela Bassett would say.
She would, and then she'd slap me, and then she'd apologize, and then she'd try to kiss me. And it would be a lot.
It would be a lot.
So what you can do is you go to MaximumFun.org and click on Donate. And then you're going to see a list of membership levels for you to choose from $5 per month to $200 per month. You pick one of those, and then you provide your credit card along with some other basic information, and there you go. You are a member. Don't forget to check the box that you say that you listen to Minority Corner, because that will let Maximum Fun know that we are listened to. There are other questions that you might be asked that will help Maximum Fun kind of get to know your listening habits and will influence how the donor funds get distributed among all the Max Fun shows. Your donation will process automatically each month and renew automatically each year. You will not need to do jack shit.
Damn.
Unless your credit card information changes or you decide to cancel. It's super easy.
I love that. You know what I love doing?
What do you do?
Jack shit.
No.
So this, sign me up for jack shit. Don't you wish you could raise your hand and just be like, yes, I would like to, I'd like to sign up for jack shit, please. Thank you.
Yes. Is this in line for jack shit?
Because great, because that's exactly where I am.
Because that's where I want to be.
So this is the great thing about you signing up for jack shit here is you actually get shit and you're helping out. A great community and a lot of great stuff. And so do it now. Don't wait, because wait means procrastinate.
Just pause us right now.
You can do it right now.
We are literally recorded voices. You can pause us. When you come back, we'll still be here.
Still be here.
It's not like you're
going to
be double jumping back into the conversation. No.
You can do it. You can. I believe in you. Y'all are some talented folks. You can get back up in it. And oftentimes I know you, I know me. And also this is the last day. If you're listening to this, this is Friday. This is the last day of the Max Fun Drive. So you actually got to go do it now. And it's not that I don't
do it. Help us.
It's not that I don't trust you. to do it later, but it's Friday and I know you and you're going to get busy and distracted. So just press pause, go do it now. Don't wait, because if you put it off, the Max Fun Drive is going to be over and there goes that pin.
Yes.
There goes that pin.
You might be one of the last donors to actually flip over our goal or flip over our highest expectations.
Or flip
you
over
might be
our
the one.
House.
You might be that one.
You could be the one. You are essentially the Neo of this Max Fun Drive.
We'll be the chosen one of the drive.
You are the Buffy the Vampire Slayer of the Maximum Fun Drive. You are the Salma Hayek of
sure. That,
what
okay.
did she do? She is the one. Oh, you are the one. You are the chosen
yes.
one. Help me. You help me, Obi-Wan. You are our only hope.
All right. Should we get back to the show?
Oh yeah.
All right, we're in my corner.
Hey, quickie corner.
It is super quick. This is a topic that came out, by the time this is coming out, probably 2 weeks ago.
But I
feel like I really wanted to cover it because it is so important how we view diversity in Hollywood because it is the media that we all consume. And
I will be taking rapid fire notes because this is my industry. So I got my pen, I got my paper.
You ready? Yeah.
And I'm actually miming it because I'm an actor.
Oh, that's good. I really feel like you're, yes, just not looking, just riding high up, looking at me. Okay, so, so Cal Penn recently unleashed a flurry of tweets on the Twitters outlining some of the scripts, old scripts, and casting notes and casting ads that he has been solicited for in his career. And Cal Penn, if you don't know, he was in Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. He
literally just looked him up. I was like, I'm going to pretend like I know who she's talking about. And
oh, everybody knows Cal Penn. People actually should know more about Cal Penn because he's an excellent actor. He's been out there. He is a former White House staffer who left acting to go work for the Obama administration.
That's interesting because he was also on 24 not playing mm-hmm. that role, but 24 is kind of political, so I see the ties.
Yeah. Okay, so one thing, so he is Indian American, and some of these listings you just need to hear because they are out of control, and it really kind of nails down the fact that people of color are severely typecast. So the first one that he post is Gandhi lookalike.
Okay.
Next one is a snake charmer.
Okay.
And then another one is a fire eater. Mm-mm. And a mandala designer sand artist.
Wow.
Another one is, he goes, geez, I remember this one. Can you make his accent a little more authentic? So mm-hmm. that's another thing. And Aziz Ansari covers this in
the
his
Masters of None. Yeah.
Yeah. So he covers that. And it's the thing that I even noticed in the newest King Kong movie where it's like, yes, Asian people have accents, but there are also Asian Americans who don't have accents. Like, there needs to be diversity in our roles. And mm-hmm. Cal Penn has been given a lot of these things where there's a man named Kareem and slight Hindi accent. And they keep trying to, like, make him say. So, like, here's another one where it's just so ridiculous, the lines. It's like they're talking about, who's Krishna, your dad? And he's, like, talking. He's like, Krishna's no. So it's, like, obviously these TV shows are out of control. Here's another one where there's a pilot called The Stones, and he tried to convince them to let him do the freaking role without an accent, and they were just like, no, and they made fun of him for that.
That's insane.
There's another one where all he writes is womp womp, and at the top it says Swami. Like, mm-hmm. what is going on? Smart Guy, which is Tia and Tamara's younger brother at a TV show.
Yeah.
And it's TJ, who is Tia and Tamara's brother. He goes, so how would you compare the educational differences between your home country and the United States? And Cal Penn's rural foreign student, well, the biggest difference is here you don't fear being whisked away to a metal shack and forced at gunpoint to sew pantsuits designed by perky morning talk show host.
Mm.
Awesome.
Interesting. Taj Mahri, I'm looking at you. Looking at you, Mahri family.
Right?
They don't talk about that on the talk.
And then, not at all. And then here's another line from it where they go, TJ says, thanks for your time. What's your full name for the article? And the foreign student says, Ravi Tulu Singh Sankar Rajamani. And then TJ cuts him off and goes, I'll just go with Ravi. It's a small paper.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
See, the 90s, shit people were doing
in
the 90s.
2000s. And then here's King of Queens.
Okay. Oh, God. Well, we know this is a pillar of American wonderfulness.
The script goes, the character's name is Sanjeeb, and somebody's asked, what's your name again? And he goes, Sanjeeb. And then the other person goes, Sinbad. And then Sanjeeb says, Sanjeeb. And then the other guy goes, Sanjob.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's funny.
How is that even funny? And it's like, I guess it's a step up above from Friends when there is no representation, but this is the wrong kind of representation.
And wrong.
Also, but it's also like it goes back to like, you know, early images, like how important like images are, because these writers can't get anything out of their head. They can't get Apu off of The Simpsons, who was also voiced by like a white actor.
A white guy. Yes.
A white guy. And a stereotype of that. And like, you know, it's transgressed like even just as recently as, what's his face? Ashton Kutcher played...
Right, for the Pop Chips commercial.
The Pop Chips commercial had Ashton
brown
Kutcher in a brown face doing, like, a stereotypical, like, Indian accent. I mean, mm-hmm. even the love Guru with Mike Myers, he played, like...
Terrible! The whole movie was a terrible, terrible, horrible joke.
Yeah.
Here's another one that I can't even believe it actually got made, that Cal Penn was actually in, and it has different descriptions. So it's for, like, I guess deodorant or something, people who need a deodorant. So there's, like, an older person, child of hippies, who loves anything 60s and then taking things to ridiculous extremes. 25-year-old Pakistani computer geek who dresses like Beck and is in perpetual state of perspiration. And then a 28-year-old African-American who's a cross between Puff Daddy, Ice Cube with a little ice and way too much puff, like... Come, who writes this stuff? So basically, I'm reading this. It goes on and on. I just wanted to bring up in my quickie corner, we can do better. We can do better than this. If you feel implied to make a race joke, you can do better. That's lazy. If you want to lean on the crutches of making fun of people for their differences, you are a lazy comic. You are a lazy writer. We can do better than this. And it is insulting that there are so many examples of this out there that we have to constantly go through. If you think it's funny to laugh at people's accents, then you need to just re-examine that.
Yeah, and broaden your horizons to what else is funny, because clearly intelligence is also like, humor is, you know, there's not many, I think there's like one other animal that can laugh. Like, it's a sign of intelligence.
Really? Yeah. Is it like a dolphin because they're super smart?
I don't know if they can. I don't know if it's them. I know that there's certain kind of monkeys that can laugh. And
maybe
I think
it's a raven.
Maybe the ravens are chuckling because they're so smart. Or those crows. Those crows are laughing. The crows are laughing at me. Crows are hella smart, y'all. But like, and I think that's why comedy is so important, because it is a sign of intelligence. And I think we should raise, y'all need to go to school. Betsy DeBose, we need to get you to some stand-up comedy outside of your little small town neighborhood.
Yes. Let's raise the bar. We have higher expectations. We deserve better.
And this is my industry, and I need better because I got bills to pay, which is why y'all got to pitch in for the Max Fun Drive, because I got shit like this that I have to perform and play, and it doesn't pay well, and it hurts my soul, and it hurts my heart. So y'all got to donate.
Y'all need to donate. And at that note, should we go into another pledge break?
Let's go to our next pledge break.
Yay.
We got to pledge.
Pledge.
Pledge. We got to pledge just to make it today.
Yes, we are back for pledge break numero dos.
And numero dos.
It is my turn to tell you why you guys should donate. One, it feels good. Two, you will become a member of the Max Fun community, which is loving, which is great. They're having meetups all over the country. You can meet up with other Max Fun listeners. You can talk about the different podcasts that you listen to and how great Minority Corner is because y'all listening to it right now. Plug us. And like James, what James was talking about before in the last pledge break, we have a new goal of 20,000 new and upgrading members to Maximum Fun. And to do that, you could do that as little as $5 per month. And that will go and help us with all of our expenses to bring you good, exciting, fun, cool podcasts. Because we got computers that we do this on. We got mics that we do this on. We got cell phones that we're talking on with a cell phone bill that we're doing this. And we're doing this for fun, for free. When was the last time you got somebody that was like, here is something for free and I don't want anything? I don't want your sex. I don't want your money. I don't want you to even, we don't even know you.
You are, well, I know some of you better than others.
Yeah.
But for the most part, a lot of y'all are the Jayla to our Mariah Carey, and we don't know you.
But we love you. We do.
But we love you. We more do. Than, so maybe you're not the Jayla to our Mariah
because
Carey.
Because there's no shade. No shade
there's
at
no
all.
Shade. There's no shade. And, you know what? There's not even a comparison that could describe our relationship because it's special.
Yeah. So what we're literally giving you is something for free. We don't know you. We love you. This is great. We're glad you listen. Thank you for listening. And to thank you for pledging, we are going to give you something.
Yes. As a big thank you to pledging, because like it really does go a long way. Y'all are helping to give into this community. And you already know what you get, the $5 and $10 level. So we're going to up the ante. For those of you who are like, listen,
yes,
I can spend a little bit more than what I do for my Hulu and my Netflix per month. You know what? Or, you know, you're already at the $5 level or the $10 level and you want to upgrade it up to the $20
upgrade
level.
Upgrade it. Upgrade it.
Yes. As the Beyontes of the group, you are going to get not only everything at the $5 and $10 level, but you're also going to get a Keep in Touch kit. K-I-T.
And this is the $20 level.
Yeah, so you're going to get little note cards and envelopes that are designed by Brian Sunny D. Fernandez, and you get a four-color rocket pen. Mm. You know, it can change colors as you write it because, you know, no one color can hold you, and you got to be ready for any occasion to go to write it up. You also get a rocket stamp that says, getting there, which is adorable, and a rocket-shaped candle that smells like sharpened pencil, friendship, and wax. Who would have thought?
Last one just really surprised me. But
I want that candle just to find out what that smells like.
I know. Maybe we'll find out. Maybe if we get a candle. At the $35 level, if you decide to do that per month, for a membership, you get that Keep in Touch kit, you get that pin, you get the bonus content, and then you get a rocket engraved beer mug.
Damn, for you to, you can drink whatever you want out of it, whatever your $35 per month donor heart can handle. Mm-hmm. Drink it up, eat gummy bears, you can do whatever you want. And there is additional levels for those of you who are like, bump this, I got money. I want to give it to you.
Yes.
That is, I got more I want to give. Well, hold up, snap, damn, wow. Okay, Oprah, I hear you, I see you, and I feel you. And we'll let you know what you'll be donating a little bit later on at the Bala levels, at the $100 and $200 level, if you so please.
Okay. We are hoping that you can just find a level that fits your wallet. You know, that's all that we're asking for. Whatever you can handle. You know, we understand that 5, 10, 20, 35 levels, dollars a month, those are, you know, real. We spend things that cost that amount of money lickety split. Like, you go out on a night to eat with your boo, that can easily cost $40. You go to the movie with your sweetheart, your best friend, that can easily, with some drinks on top of that, that can get you out to like $50. So you get the same amount of entertainment from us, I believe, and all the other Max Fun podcasts, just as much as watching, you know, Vampire in Brooklyn. That is, which I watched on Hulu, which is a $7, $8 a month.
$7, Yeah,
you know?
That is.
So
you'd be at that. Yeah.
So I feel like we are here to provide you with some entertainment. And if you can afford anything, we'll be more than grateful.
Every little bit helps. So for those of you, you are now, you're like, all right, you sold me. I am ready to go. It is time for me to become a subscriber or I am ready to upgrade. Mm. Very simple. You're going to go to MaximumFun.org and you just click the donate button. Mm. It is easily marked for your peepers.
Ooh.
And then you're going to see a list of membership levels that you can choose from the $5 level per month all the way up to $200.
Mm.
And then you're going to provide that little fancy credit card that you got. You're going to whip it out of your pocket.
Yes.
Get it so you can see it and just enter the basic information and then boom. You're a member. It was that easy. Well, if you clicked the enter button, then
there you go.
Yes,
there you go.
You're a member. And most importantly, we really appreciate this. If you, the most important thing is you got to check the box saying that you listen to Minority Corner. Let them know that we sent you because this is going to help them to understand what are the listening habits of those who've been donating.
Yeah.
And just help to make sure that, you know, those funds get distributed accurately.
Yay.
And the last step is just to keep in mind that, remember, your donation will process monthly, so you ain't got to do nothing. You got to do nothing unless you're like, oh, snap, that vampire in Brooklyn done stole my wallet, and he had your credit card.
Uh-oh.
Eddie Murphy.
Shit,
so
looking
then you
at
would
you.
Maybe, and Angela Bassett's running out. She's the detective. She's on the case, but you know she's crazy. She's running all over the place trying to look for Eddie Murphy vampire who stole your credit card. So what you need to do is you'll need to go back and repeat step 1 through 4 and re-enter in your credit card information so that way it stays up to date.
You should probably cancel your credit card if Eddie Murphy stole it and then get a new credit card and then
damn
re-enter.
Damn you, Eddie Murphy, Jamaican vampire.
And so basically, this is our second pledge break on our second, you know, pledge episode.
Maximum fun episode.
You know, and might as well just take a little pause, go donate, and then sit back, relax, listen to this. Don't get the sweats when you hear the next pledge break. You can just be like, I did that. I can even fast forward through this pledge break because
yeah.
I followed
but you'll
steps
wanna,
1 through 5.
But you might miss some of the jokes, so you wouldn't dare.
Oh, that's true.
Miss out.
I know.
You
I'm shorthanding
dare.
Myself. We are very funny. So just please take the time, donate now. We appreciate and love you. We don't know you, but we will may get to know you.
Yeah, I will. You hey, listen. You donate, you become my Michelle Williams.
I don't
Everybody
know. Is
Michelle
that
Williams.
Do you think people want to be that?
Who wouldn't want to be? Michelle Williams is doing fine.
Michelle Williams
she gets to
doesn't
hang
even
want to
be Michelle Williams.
She gets to hang out and just sort of like, hey, y'all, I'm here too.
And we're talking about black Michelle Williams. We're not talking about white Michelle Williams.
Oh, Michelle Williams, white Michelle Williams.
She's doing great. She's an award-winning actress.
Which, I mean, who saw that coming?
Stop it.
Who saw that coming? I'm like, she's still here? Okay. Oh, we're giving her awards now. Okay.
She's good.
I missed out on everything.
I think
the last
she's
thing I saw. The last thing I saw Michelle Williams on was Halloween H2O. So
oh,
that was
shit,
it.
She was.
That was the,
wasn't she on?
Last,
she was on Dawson's Creek, too. Oh, I
that's
forgot
the thing.
She
was
a
she
child
was
actress.
Dawson's Creek. That's what I'm saying. Are we surprised? That's why I'm surprised that her career
wow.
is what it is. Because who else made it out of that creek? Dawson did
Dawson
it.
Sure as hell did not.
He was on Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 13,
he was
which
good
got
on
canceled.
That.
Sorry, Eric Andre, but that show got canceled.
But he does have his own show, which is still going.
Well, don't tell him that, or tell him that. I have a feud with Eric Andre, not intentional. Eric Andre, for listening, I'm sorry.
Go and listen to that episode.
But anyways, Michelle Williams, I'm just surprised you're still here, because I saw clips of Dawson's Creek. I saw the commercials of Dawson's Creek.
Mm.
It's one of those shows I only kept up from the commercials.
No,
I was like,
no,
oh, that's what's
no,
happening
I never
now.
Watched it either.
I didn't, just saw the commercials. And then she was in Halloween H2O, and then next thing I know, they're like, she's nominated for an Oscar. I'm like, whoa.
She...
Katie Holmes... You took the wrong deal because she didn't have to marry Tom Cruise. She didn't have to marry gay-ass Scientologist Tom Cruise. And she's getting awards. So, sorry, Katie.
You know that
people
Katie Holmes
like
dated Jamie Foxx for a long time.
She is just...
But she
okay.
was under contract from Tom Cruise and couldn't be go public with her relationship.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Damn. Katie Holmes, you are... Under lock and key, girl,
mm-hmm.
you are buried in Dawson's Creek. That's where the bodies are. Anyways, don't forget to donate.
Yeah. is James.
I love bread. So for those of you who Oprah loves bread, that's me being Oprah.
She does.
I am Oprah. I am Oprah. I am Oprah. I
but
am
who
Oprah.
Who doesn't love bread?
Gluten-free people. I think
they can't have it, but they probably love it.
Because it might kill them. So I wanted to, since it's an episode of giving, y'all are giving, we are giving,
yes.
And I wanted to do something because, you know, a lot of us folks from underrepresented or, you know, disenfranchised groups and communities, there are things, like we talked about us, like healing through trauma, but I also want to talk about in ways that we are perhaps limiting our own selves through what Tara Brach, I listened to this great podcast called Tara Brach, she is a Buddhist mm-hmm. practitioner and a therapist, and she mm-hmm. had a podcast that talked about these cocoons that we keep ourselves in, right? And so I kind of want to talk about that, and then paired that with this other podcast I listened to called The Law of Attraction with Robert Zink, and he had some really good just sort of steps of like, now we'll take that, what cocoons we are possibly trapping ourselves in, and then some action items of what we can do to possibly break free of those.
Cool.
All right. So specifically, Tara Brach talks about, you know, taking the exquisite risk, which I love that name and title.
Oh, sounds fancy.
Well, because a risk is something that, like, it can frighten us, it can scare us. But it's usually, if it's a risk, it's something that will, if we do it, you know, we're probably going to become better from it. You know, no risk, you know, no reward. And these cocoons are things that we create for ourselves, and they keep us safe. But if if a butterfly is always within a cocoon, it never gets to fly. It never gets to go to the next level. Although it's nice and warm and it's safe inside that cocoon, sometimes we feel pressure because it's time for us to leave that cocoon. And these cocoons, they serve their spaces. They serve their time. But sometimes it's time for us, like, we need to push through them. So some of the cocoons that you might be having, you might have
me or as the listeners?
Well, I'm going to include you in this basket of wonderful people as well. These basket of lovelies.
Okay. Ooh, I love this.
But y'all need to break free of your cocoon. Get the hammer.
Oh.
Get free.
Can I do a quick fact about cocoons? It will take 2 seconds.
Okay.
Did you know that butterflies, when a worm goes into a cocoon, a caterpillar goes into a cocoon, it fully turns into goo and then reemerges, like reforms.
Wow.
So it fully breaks down and then reforms into a butterfly, and it still has memories. So there you go.
Which, if you think about that, y'all still probably got your memories too. And maybe you're not so gooey anymore. Maybe you're fully fledged and you're fully formed, but you're still sane inside your safe cocoons. Sometimes we have cocoons of limiting beliefs. So it's... this negative self-talk that we create for ourselves. And a lot of times it does keep us safe. You know, oh, I can't do that. Or, oh, no, if I tried to do that, I might fail. Or they think that I wouldn't be able to do it. And in some ways, because it keeps us safe, because we don't try to push forward and we don't push outside of it. Because we've already caught ourselves out in the thought process of like, well, I can't do it. And remember, words matter. Words are things. You know, I really like to use affirmations. It's in a part of my daily routine and daily way of things. And words have such power that they've done, you know, they've done science experiments where they had different pots of, I think they did like different pots of rice. And in one of the pots of rice, they said, oh, you are beautiful. You are wonderful. You are amazing. And another pot, they didn't say jack shit to. And another pot, they were like, fuck you. You're ugly rice. Stupid rice. Go to hell. Fuck that rice. And you know what? The other rice had like beautiful, the one that had the beautiful affirmations had like beautiful, like, I think it like fermented into like wine or something. It was like, it was rice and water.
Yeah, that's what they said. Yeah.
But just like, because our words are energy and, you know, we're, you know, I the great Anneke Fitz-Clark once reminded me, that's you.
Oh, who's that?
That's you.
Oh, okay.
We're all stardust, you know, and if you think about, we're all come from stars, that there's like that.
Yes, it's
there's
true.
There's literally stars inside of, you know, there's a star inside of all of us.
You're made of it, so it's inside you and on
you. Which means you have like unlimited potential and unlimited, you know, power. And so these words that we tell ourselves especially are incredibly important. There's also the cocoon of looking good and getting approval, you know. The fear, it's the cocoon of other people's judgments. The problem with that cocoon is it stops us from being authentic, stops us from being spontaneous. It also makes it hard for us to trust our own lovability because we're so dependent upon what others are thinking. And also, like, hey, I get it. Like, I'm a sucker for, like, man wanting that gold star. We're taught at a very early age to seek approval. But what it can find is that you're down this pathway that has nothing to do with who you are, your core, what it is that you truly want, and you're just... And what you could want could be totally different from everybody else around you. But you've only got one life. As Janet Jackson once said, you've only got one life to live. Who's right?
Yes.
Who's wrong? What have you done for you lately?
Done for me lately.
I'm going to change this to what have you done for you lately?
Ooh, I like that. What I need have that you on
done
a shirt.
For you lately?
Done for you lately.
Because it is. We don't do enough self-care, I think. The other cocoon...
It's so true. We don't think of ourselves.
And yes. And really going back to nurturing ourselves, it starts with us. Especially as you're in that cocoon, you got to take care of yourself. And even the butterfly, you need to take care of yourself. Keep them wings pretty.
Yeah, I mean... I hate how we have a society where selfless is praised and selfish is looked upon, down upon. You need to have a mix of both. You got to take care of yourself before you take care of others. Mm-hmm. And then you take care of others, too. You can't be fully one or the other.
And by being selfish, it is you loving yourself. Because as RuPaul...
Right.
This is quote corner. Because as RuPaul says, if you don't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love anybody else?
Can I get an amen?
Because if I can't love myself, there's no way I can love anybody else. And if I'm constantly trying to get that love from outside sources, but I'm also not loving myself, it's like putting water into a bucket with holes in it. And so you gotta fill
it's
up.
It's just gonna pour
it's
out.
It's gonna pour out. So also some of us are stuck in that cocoon of blame. Blaming others, blaming other things, and that just creates distance and doesn't really create any movement or resolution. The blame game isn't helpful or anything. And you know, there's a lot of these ways you can kind of catch yourself of just small moments and ways that we engage. I in small ways blame people for things all the time. Oh, it's that person. That lady was in my way, and that's why I missed the subway. Or
I cursed out a man in a Tesla because he was one driving a Tesla. 2, driving hella fast. And 3, he was a rich man in a Tesla.
See, she blaming him for his Tesla-ness.
That's my fault.
What is that going to do for Aneke? Nothing. What joy, happiness, and riches does that attract towards Aneke in her life? Nothing.
Jack shit.
Nope, and he's going to go off in his Tesla, living his life. And so
feeling good, fully charged.
He's still in charge. And here you are, grumbling in your car.
Depleted.
Get out of your cocoon, girl. Get out of that blame cocoon. Also the cocoon of addicting to... the cocoon of addiction towards achieving and proving ourselves.
Ooh.
And I think especially a lot of us who are in these underrepresented groups, I think a lot of women can attest to this. I think a lot of us have constantly felt that we, again, quote corner, you got to work twice as hard to get half as much. We have had that instilled with us in so much. But again, the problem of, and that can be a safe, it feels like it can be a safe space to do that, but it's maybe not always so true to who we really are. And that can be so limiting. It can create stress. It can create anxiety. Yes. I think that's where I get.
I am fully guilty of this. And I'll tell you, if I take a little time to be carefree, it loosens everything up.
Right. Yes. And you so deserve that. Like, again, mediocre white men, they go skip in the play in the flowers. They do that shit all the time. And we deserve to have that time as well, that you can't go at full speed 24/7 all the time.
Take it down a notch for a minute.
So these are some of the cocoons that we might, be in. And something that Tara Brach said that I thought was really great, that whatever you practice is what you strengthen. So if you practice blame, you're going to be really good at it. if you're practicing being fearful and worrisome in your head or coming up with all these limiting ideas and limiting beliefs, you're going to be really good at it. And that is literally world and cocoon that you're going to make yourself, which also means it's how powerful y'all are. It's how powerful we are. The opposite is also true. That is a power that you have. So you can practice the opposite of it. I am amazing. I am the best person for this job. I am so incredibly successful, or, you know, what it, and also looking into what it is that you really want to do. So I want to give y'all an exercise to do.
I love an exercise.
Explore what it is that you really, if you're in this cocoon and you're ready to break out, but what are you breaking out into? And I think the thing that will help you break out of that cocoon is knowing what it is that you want, or what is that you desire. I want to get away from the word want, because want kind of means that you're lacking something. And
like, what's her face from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, where she's like in the goose thing, where she's like, I want it all. Veruca Salt. Yeah, and you don't want to be no Veruca
Salt.
Don't
Veruca Salt it. And remember, she actually on the inside had nothing. And that's why she wanted. She was so empty on the inside. That's why she was wanting all these other outside things to fill the hole inside of her.
Ooh. Also, side note, somebody had this on Twitter. How come no kids of color got a golden ticket?
Do you need to ask that question? Is that a rhetorical or hypothetical? I think that's one of those questions that we can just side-eye that one, and we all know the answer. And just give it a, that's the answer to
looking
that.
Looking at you, Wonka.
So, I wanted to move into, like, instead of wants, like, what is it that you desire? Because desires speak to your actual heart, right? It speaks to your passion.
Yeah.
And when it's something that you desire, nothing is going to stop you from getting it. You are attracting it to you. You are pulling it to you. It is fate. You are drawing yourself to it.
It sounds sexier, too.
I desire this. I desire pancakes. If I tell you I desire some pancakes tonight...
I'm going to get you some pancakes.
You know I'm going to get pancakes. Because I was like, I desire some pancakes. Like,
yeah, it's better than I want some pancakes.
Fuck that. Get out of my face. I ain't got time for that. I desire some pancakes. Oh, damn. You got to get yourself some pancakes tonight.
You are ready for some pancakes.
Exactly. Desire is like, let's do this. So, so on this podcast that I was listening to, Robert Zink had these tools for you to use. So you want to find like, and I recommend doing this on the regular, at least once a week, or, you know, getting this into practice, because self-love is important and something that we don't do. So you want to create a quiet, sacred, safe space for yourself. This could be a park. It could even be a closet. It could be your bedroom. It could be the bathroom, just some space for you just to sort of be you, a safe space for you to reflect and think.
I do have to say that if it is going to be in a closet, make sure you have some air coming in and coming out. It's
also important. So these questions that you want to ask yourself in your safe, oxygenated closet.
Yes, thank you.
With your Angela, with your Angela Bassett flowy pants.
Always
wear those. If I knew I couldn't fail, what would I do? If I knew my race, my gender, my sexuality, my age, my handicap, if none of that made a difference, what would I do? What would I be? Because again, I like going back to those limiting thoughts that I think subconsciously, I think we have these, right? Some of us might want to be like, no, I'm not limited in that way. Da, 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 da. I get it. We have that armor that we're like, nothing can stop us. But the real work is, hey, if it's there, that's okay. Get vulnerable. Get real with yourself. Yeah. Acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Unearth it. Because it could still be holding you back to, you know, what it is that you are really meant to do here on this planet. You are a star. Mm. You are made of stardust, right? Stars have no limits. If money were no object, what would you do? And you can, you know, what would you do? If you could live anywhere, there's no limits, no nothing, where would you live? If you had no responsibilities, what would you do with your life? Would you write? Would you create? Would you teach skiing? Would you do music?
No.
Would you do science? Would you be a DJ? Would you make beer? Would you make reenactments of Vampire in Brooklyn?
Sure.
You should be a dancer, a farmer. I don't know.
You know what? This is great because this is like allowing you to stretch your brain. Like, we need to break out of these cocoons, as you said, that we have placed ourselves in. It is time to really live up to your potential. So when you are on, you know, best case scenario, an old person who's lived a long life, you're not regretting.
Yeah, when you are that, when you were Rose, that old lady dying in her bed, that's the dream, right? When you are her, what do you want to look back on? That you survived the Titanic.
You want to just going out in your negligee to drop a giant ass diamond back in the ocean.
Listen, y'all, we are on the Titanic right now. The president is driving this ship, and we will survive it. We will survive this.
There is an iceberg goddamn straight ahead.
But we're going to be fine. We're going to survive. We're going to fly away. We're going to burst out of our cocoons and fly
yes.
away.
We each have our own door that we're floating off to.
Exactly. This is like Metaphor City. Hope y'all got it down. They're like, I'm confused. Am I a caterpillar on a door? All right.
Go watch Titanic.
So with all of these, you want to free write these questions that I had and just sort of free write them in your closet with oxygen, wherever you are.
Yes.
Do a little free write and don't judge yourself. And with these, this is the key sort of formula that you want to use is that if I knew I couldn't fail, I would fill it in. Then you want to translate that into then write it as I will. Because you're going to change it from an I would to an I will to an I am. Because you're going to do this. Then you can start writing out your goals. You can map out intentions. Whether you're, maybe your intentions are now you've got an intention, right? This I am is now an intention. And so maybe it's you could do it for financial goals, your romantic life, your business, your political aspirations, your whatever your dreams are. You know, you've got this one chance to live in this exact life that you have, right? And so,
yeah.
And then the power of visualization, visualize yourself doing these things, you know, as you maybe do 5 minutes of visualization every day or, you know, throughout the week. Mm. Visualization is so key. If there's something that scares you, visualize yourself being successful at it.
Oh,
you know,
that's chill.
You know, and because, you know, athletes do this all the time. They run the race in their head, right? And you start to change the way that you think about things and you start to release those limiting thoughts and those limiting ideas because everything is possible. Everything is possible.
Right. It's so true. This is kind of reminding me of like The Secret where you put out it's people say that a lot of times The Secret is you put out your intentions into the universe and it comes back. It also works like how I teach my students about their research projects. If you're thinking about your topic, it's like when you buy a car and you start to then notice that car around.
Yes.
Or you wear a shirt and you start to see more people wearing that shirt. You're recalibrating where your focus is going. Mm. And if you are focused on a certain goal, things will start to come into focus that you need to pay attention to that you normally wouldn't.
Yep, absolutely. And that's why you've got to make sure all those limiting doubts and those things that you've got like decades of, you know, if you're, you know, LGBT or a woman or, you know, Black or Latino, you've got so many folks who say that you can't do it. So that much, you have to do these things. You have to do it that much more. And you'll probably enjoy your life more. You'll probably be a more happy and healthy, carefree person. And so do those, you know, do these visualizations. You can even start small by telling yourself, I'm going to find a parking space. You're looking for a parking space. I'm going to find a parking space in the front. Visualize it. Feel yourself winning it, having it. And you'll start to see that this is your winning techniques. So, and then, you know, the goals that you have, you can breadcrumb them. Find out the hardest thing to do is just to get up. What is that first thing you do? The first thing to do for any of your goals, your dreams, your aspirations is to get up. Get up. And like maybe today it's like I'm going to do research on this or I'm going to, you know, send an email to someone or, you know, the hardest step is to take action and to get up and eliminate. Lastly, eliminate the word. Yes. The word failure doesn't exist. It's not a real word.
Mm,
we call that call that feedback. Something didn't work out exactly the right way. That's feedback of like, okay, cool. All right. Next time I'll try this. Or it's just a little feedback coming back to you. Just information. That's all it is.
I love how this is all like reminding me of my research, like help with the students at the college, where it's like, if you don't succeed on using a different word, a word to research something in a database or in Google, try a different word, try a different way of thinking about it. Yeah. Just change it up a little bit. Use a different adjective, use a different synonym for the word. And it's the same way with achieving your goals. If it didn't work out one way, try another way. And that is just how it goes. That's how people, there's many ways to attain something. It's not just one thing.
Absolutely. So just keep going at it. And I wanted to do this especially because I think that this our group, I think y'all are just such beautiful, wonderful people. And I Neke and I both just want the world for all of you. I want everyone to fully live your life to your fullest potential. And I know that we've had certain roadblocks and barriers and things that have been said to us and so that we can't. But I'm telling you, Neke and I are both telling you, you can. And it is your gift. It is your responsibility to the world to be your fully realized self. So I want us, the world needs your gift more than ever. More than ever, it is time for us to shine bright like diamonds.
Like Rihanna said.
Like Rihanna said. Who didn't die in Bates Motel? Spoiler alert.
What?
What?
Okay.
That's how I meant it. That's how I meant it. She was playing that character who's supposed to get killed in the shower. No. Oh.
I didn't know you were going to go to that. You're going to throw in a spoiler alert in these positive affirmations just, that we're doing.
Just hit me. Anyways.
That caught me off guard. And I'm sorry for all of you Bates, for the few Bates Motel fans who are not up to date.
She didn't die. I didn't see it. I just read the article. I'm like, oh, I guess I don't need to watch 5 seasons of this show now. Now I know. She's not gonna die. She walks away. She's like,
where
she takes the money.
I, James?
She takes the money and goes.
You literally took me. I was riding along with you, and then you just pushed me out of that car.
Gotta keep it real. Hey, gotta keep it.
I know. You're
That's how we do it at Kappa Kappa Calliope Kokomo.
All right, are you ready for the third?
Here we go.
Second installment third. Of Ashley Nicole Black. Third, one of the three. Whichever way you're
depending on the
to.
Order that you watch this. You know, sometimes people like
Listen.
To watch. Oh well, I don't know how they do it.
How can they see us?
They might surprise you. I see that on my computer, my green light is on, which means my camera's on. I don't know who that is. That could be anybody.
It's me watching you.
Well, there it goes. Look at you, Nancy Drew in it.
Well, there can also we can have listeners with synesthesia, I think it's called, where they can see. Words and touch colors.
Oh. Well, see, exactly. I'm not going to limit you of what y'all can do. But this is
I
the
don't know
third...
what you guys are looking at, but all right.
Your fabulousness. So this is it. This is it. The end of the Ashley interview that we saved some of the best parts for last. I think we're going to go into more details of what it's like to be on the Samantha Bee show. It's a lot of great stuff. So enjoy it up, y'all.
Enjoy. Eat it up.
Eat it. I see your star more than just being besties with, you know, Shonda and stuff, but I can see you like having like your own show or like, do you want, cause you were at Second City and is there like a pipeline from Second City to SNL? Like, is that a thing
That's
sometimes?
One of the places, like one of the like 3 or 4 places they go to find people.
And so, but eventually you're going to have your own show, writing it or being in it or something. Or
that's my hope. Yeah. Both. I like to do both at this. I like to write and perform.
You've got a huge fan base.
It's you and Aneke.
No. I was literally.
There's a guy named Tony.
No. I'm doing my show at the Frigid Festival. And like two of my cast members, like I like name dropped you. And I was like, yeah, you know, it's Samantha Bee's show. My friend Ashley went to college with her. We played best friends in a show. And I was like, I'm going over to her house. And they're like, oh, we love Ashley. That's She's so great. Funny. And like I know you're not supposed to, but I can't help it. Like I read the comments on one of the segment videos that you did. People love you.
You can read it. I don't.
Well, I'll tell you what they're saying. They said, I love Ashley, more Ashley. Yeah, like, because you have your own video segments and stuff.
Yeah, the first time I did the show, my good friend Adam changed my Twitter password for me and held on to my Twitter for a couple days. And I was like, you can just tell me when it's safe to come back. Mm. And then after like 24 hours, he was like, oh, you didn't need to do that. Everything is good, which was surprising to me.
It's great. So response, like so there's a lot of positive, awesome like response, which is, and like you said, like I feel like you all are providing a space and community for so many folks. And I guess, like, you don't need to pay attention to the haters, right? Or, like, the folks, like, why put energy into
that? I don't look for it. Yeah. There's no need to, like, go digging through YouTube. Usually when people, like, at you, they are saying something nice. Like, usually when people want to say something mean, they're not brave enough to at you.
Yeah.
Which is fine by me.
Yeah.
So I usually see either nothing or positive comments. But I think also, like, most of the stuff that I'm doing should be a no-brainer. Like, even we did the piece at the RNC where we asked people to say Black Lives Matter. And if you, on paper, people are like, oh, you know, stupid black people, you know, blah, blah, blah. But if you actually watch the piece,
yeah,
we are really quite deeply listening to people and having really reasoned conversations. And we're not making fun of anyone.
Yeah.
So I think it's people usually make comments without knowledge. I don't think anyone who actually watches the piece hates it. You may find things to disagree with or whatever, but we're not.
Which is okay. I think I think we also have gotten to a point like where it's okay for us to have disagreements and to like and not have a conversation about it. You and I had a disagreement about the primary.
Yes.
Ashley and I were on two very different sides of like, I was, you know, for Bernie and you were for Hillary or whatnot. And we had our, you know, but we came together and it was okay. We're still friends today.
Well, and there's people now, just today, Keith Ellison didn't win the DNC chair.
Oh, he
and
didn't.
There's already people being like, I'm not going to vote Democrat. And it's like,
here we go.
Are you serious? So you're going to be like, right now, one of the bills Republicans are considering is taking free and reduced lunch away from children.
No.
So are you literally like, I'm going to let children starve because I wanted Keith Ellison to be DNC chair. Like, really?
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's sort of, there's a Buddhist saying of like, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy?
Yes.
And it's sort of like, do you need to be that much right that like, it's sort of like, and this is the game of politics. Sometimes you got to just sort of keep rolling and keep rocking with it, you know? Like, it's not helpful.
Yeah, like, let's get the kids fed and then let's fight over. We do have things to fight over as progressives. That's fine. But like, let's feed children and admit our countrymen back into the country when they go on vacation. Like, let's take care of the big issues.
Yeah.
And then let's fight with each other.
Yeah. Oh, so you've also, so you went to the Republican convention.
Yes.
I was praying for you, girl. how was that? And how was it doing segments with people there? Because you've been in there. You've been on the other side. Like, how is it?
It was interesting. It was much more emotionally taxing than I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. It's a really hard job. I mean, whatever. I make jokes for money. It's it's a difficult job anyway because you have like all of this. You have to know everything because you can't have anyone say something to you that you don't know or have an answer to. So you have to know everything and you have to have prepared jokes ready. You also have to be ready to improvise. You also have to keep in mind the things that I'm not good at, which is like your angles and where the camera is. Mm-hmm. And the person you're talking to doesn't know any of those things. You kind of have to keep them on camera. And sometimes you're like, without the camera being able to see, like pulling them, you know, on camera with you because they're drifting away. And, you know, it's a lot to like keep in your head at the same time.
Right.
And then those pieces that we did at the RNC happen to also be like very emotionally fraught.
Absolutely.
So doing all of that work, plus doing the emotional work of talking to people who are, you know, having a hard time. Even simple stuff is like you'd ask people, were you a Trump supporter? You know, from the beginning, and most of the people at the RNC were Cruz supporters or libertarians.
Yeah.
Most of the people I talked to. And they'd be like, no, I was a Cruz supporter. And if you let a couple of seconds of silence go by, you would see tears come to their eyes because it made them so sad to have to vote for Donald Trump.
Interesting.
And you could just ignore that and keep telling jokes, or you could engage with the fact that a human being is having feelings in front of you, which is what I try to do. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's like you're like a washcloth that's been wrung out all day between like having, you know, 25 deeply emotional conversations while making jokes and being factually accurate.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a lot.
It's a lot. How do you see these next, I used to say next few years, but just like the next year coming, like, how do we bridge together? Do we worry about bridging together? Should we just focus on getting ourselves some seats at the table and some, like, is it time to like kumbaya or like we need to, you know, make sure these lunches like this, like they don't take away these children's lunches. Like, do we come back together or we just focus on what we need to do as progressives?
I don't know. I kind of go back and forth because part of me having had those experiences of talking to people at the RNC and at the inauguration, most people are reasonable people who want the best for everyone, but they have been fed a garbage diet of lies. Mm. Like everyone we talk to about Black Lives Matter, the first thing they would say is something like, Black Lives Matter is a terrorist organization. They're the racist ones. They're the hateful ones. And within less than three minutes, we would get to, I actually don't know that much about it. I saw one piece on Bill O'Reilly about it. I saw Glenn Beck talk about it once. I read about it on Breitbart, and that's all I really know about it. And 2 minutes after that, we're into, you know what? I will look more into it. And like probably 60% of the people that I talked to gave me a hug on the way out and thanked me, kept saying hello to me as we passed them in the convention center later. We don't have time as a country for like Black women to have 10-minute conversations with every misinformed white voter.
Y'all can't go do that. You can't rally all up and say, all right.
I don't know, maybe we can do a Kickstarter. All Black ladies, yes. Quit your jobs. Yeah. The community will support you having one-on-one conversations with white ladies.
Y'all gotta go out.
But yeah, people are not evil or terrible. They're grossly misinformed.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that I can see that can be done about that. We have freedom of the press in this country. We can't shut down Breitbart. Mm-hmm. We can't stop Alex Jones from lying to people. They are watching it and they're making the choice to watch it. Like I see shit that's fake all the time and I make the choice to be like, let me Google this. Yeah. And you know, even if I want it to be right, let me make sure before I share it or whatever. So they're absolutely making a choice, but a lot more of the blame has to go on the people who choose to sell hatred and lies for their own gain. Yeah. I don't know why. I don't know what they're going to get out of it. Sometimes it really feels like they're trying to start a civil war. And I'm like, that doesn't benefit anyone. So I go back and forth between being like, we should absolutely reach out to these people because I know that they will listen if they're reached out to. And then the other half of me is like, we don't really, that's a very long labor intensive process that we don't really have time for when kids aren't getting lunch,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. So maybe we can focus on the things that we need to do and make sure these kids, their lunches don't get taken away or make sure these crazy things in Congress don't get passed or make sure that, you know, we get people elected and return, you know, the gerrymandering laws or such like craziness or whatnot. And then along the way, have little side conversations, you know, and maybe not have to go out of our way to be necessarily like, and also being like mean to other people on the other side, like, must be all like Santa Cruz hippie kumbaya. But like, why do I need that negative energy into my life, you know? So you said something that was really interesting. They're choosing to do it. And I find that so interesting too, because there's a lot of, I want to talk about Melania Trump for a second. This woman, she's so fascinating to me. And like, I'm hesitant because people are like, oh, leave Melania alone. Or like, they're like, oh, I feel so bad for Melania. She's a grown woman who's made choices to be where she is, you know? So it just reminded me of that. What are your thoughts about Melania Trump?
Oh, gosh. I mean, God bless her. I hope she's having a good time.
She's right down the street in New York.
Yeah, using my tax dollars to live down the street. you know, it's one of those things where it's like, again, you have to balance like having compassion, but also being real. I have a great compassion for someone who doesn't want to be in the public eye, doesn't want their child to be in the public eye. I feel like if Michelle Obama had that choice, she probably would have made it, but she didn't have that choice because she was a Black woman. And pointing that out doesn't mean that I don't have compassion for Melania. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, good for her that she had that choice. I wish that Michelle had that choice as well.
Yeah.
That being said, she's living on my dime.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know why that's acceptable to people. It's also not safe. Yeah. And I feel like the part of it that we're not talking about is, God forbid, and I hope that this never happens, if something happens to her, because she's not in the safest environment possible, which would be the White House.
Right.
We have to go to war then.
Yeah.
And why
God, it's like Helen of Troy.
Yeah. It's like, why even put ourselves in that situation when there is a place that was made for you? And I don't want any woman to have to live somewhere she doesn't want to live.
Right.
I think that's, but also the reality is, you're not just any woman. Because of who you've chosen to marry, your safety is now of my concern.
Right.
Which sucks.
Yeah.
But is also true.
It also seems like, you know, when there's a family who, like, if someone in the family is getting a new job and the whole family, like, it seems like there's a conversation that happens that says, you know, this might happen. Is everybody okay with it? Do you think that conversation never, anybody talk to Melania about that?
Or it did, and they chose to live apart, which families do. I know people who, dad got a new job, he went, and we chose to stay here.
But it doesn't cost the taxpayers $1.25 million.
Exactly, and it's that level of, like, not thinking that every family should be able to make their own choices, but once you make the choice to become president, you don't get to make the same choices that other families do. And that sucks, but also you didn't have to become president.
That's true. We're going to, so before we go for this segment, we're going to get the behind the scenes stuff for, we have some questions for about like, the show itself or whatever. We want to get some more entertainment type questions asked, but that's going to be for our subscribers our bonus episode that we're doing. So we'll keep that in the bonus level area. Levels is the video game. but I just want to ask you a few questions before we head out from this segment. And what are you reading? What are you watching? What are you listening to?
Oh, gosh. I mean, this week I was on break, so I tried to take a break from the news.
Uh-huh.
But I am, like, so uninterested in doing any emotional work right now that I just watch, like, I watch Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
I watch old episodes of Parks and Rec.
Yes.
Like, I haven't been. I do watch This Is Us, but that's, like, a good cleaning cry.
I was going to say, that sounds emotional. It's like, I don't even know if I can do that.
Oh, I highly recommend.
Really?
But, like, save it for a day when you need it.
To cry. Because I hear it's amazing. I hear it's so good.
It's really good.
Like, little Mandy Moore. She's all grown up, right? I remember when she was singing about candy.
Yeah.
When she was a pop star.
I still love her pop. Okay. I really do.
Yeah. Are there any books you'd recommend to our listeners?
I recommended Year of Yes already.
Yes, already. You already peddled that one.
As I'm contractually obligated to do.
From Chandra. Make sure to tune in to Thank God It's Thursdays on ABC.
But do. I don't know. I haven't been reading a lot because I've just been so engrossed in the news.
Yeah. Wow. And you're terrible. Also a busy working woman, too. Yeah. And you must, with your job, have to, like, ingest, like you said, so much news and information all the time. Because you have to figure out which stories to talk about. And, like, then you got to spin a joke about that story.
Yeah. And also hopefully find something that nobody else will find. Like, we have an office full of smart people who are all bringing in stories. So, like, what's that story that I'm going to be the only one who found or cared about? But you have to, like, really be digging deep into the news to find something that everybody else didn't find.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a lot. Ashley, it's been so great to have you on the show.
Thank you.
We're going to do a secret bonus segment for all of those who've participated in the Max Fun Drive. More of an incentive to participate in the Max Fun Drive so we can keep interviewing awesome people like Ashley and Nicole Black. How can they follow you or stay in touch with you?
You can follow me on Twitter at AshleyN1COLE.
Awesome. You're on the Facebook. Should they find you on Facebook?
That's no. What,
don't.
Facebook is for friends. And I don't know you people.
You stay out of her Facebook. That's for me and Aneke. Thank you. Because we know her. Awesome. Thanks, Ashley.
Thanks.
Yay, yay.
Let's break. That took a lot of rehearsing. Y'all don't know.
It did.
We don't usually rehearse things, but we had to rehearse that. So,
but it worked. I think that it worked out perfectly.
I think it was pretty good. I think we could almost call the episode a day right after that.
It's true.
But we won't.
Okay, bye, y'all.
No. I feel like this is our victory lap. This is us.
It
essentially
is.
We are coming by scooping up the last bit of our corner kids who have not yet gotten a chance to donate, to upgrade. So we're going to come by and scoop y'all up.
We're driving by, you're hitchhiking, hop along the corner kid van.
Yes.
And
why is it a van?
Pledge on down the road. We gotta fit everybody in there. It's not creepy. There's plenty of windows.
That's right. All right. As long as there's windows. We are also not scrubs hanging out the passenger side of our best friend's ride trying to holler at you. It's a big van.
We're not doing
lots
that.
Lots of windows. Just come on in. There's a jacuzzi.
Honk honk.
Honk honk. Here we go.
We got seat warmers, we got to pay for those seat warmers.
Exactly. And so with that, we're trying to get our subscribers. As y'all know, the goal was 10,000. We blew it out of the water. Now we're going
to get out of the water.
We not get out of the water. We blew it out of the water.
Out.
It's gone.
You better leave this water.
There is no more water left.
Don't come back.
There's just Scrooge McDuck coins of all of your wonderful subscribing donations.
Ooh, I like that, yeah.
So our goal is at 20,000. I think we're just 4,000 away from new and upgraded subscribing members.
The amount of a small town.
You're going to say small child, but yeah.
No.
Just never know. But yeah, we are a small town of people. We really are. And, you know, towns cost money to keep running. And so if you think about this, you are an investor. Who's the people that make the towns go around? Who are those people? The people.
The taxpaying people of America.
You are the taxpayers of this is not sexy. But you know what?
Okay.
Donating's not sexy.
It's not.
But we're going to make it sexy.
Because y'all are sexy.
We're bringing sexy back to donating. So when you donate, you also get awesome gifts. And so we already know what we got at the $5 level, $10, $20, $35 level. But some of y'all are balling. It's almost said bowling.
Not. Maybe you just are comfortable and you feel like, you know what, let me just pay a little extra more.
You're like, I feel like being a little Oprah this year. I was so moved by today's episode, it's time for me to become an Oprah.
Mm-hmm. So that way you're going to pay $100 per month. That membership, you get to be in the inner fucking circle, which is a monthly culture club. So just as a refresher, or just to let people know, we were asked to supply a little gift for the monthly culture club that showcased our podcast. And we decided to suggest this one cute comic. I'm not going to say it because I don't remember it, but I believe it's something about Danger Dinosaur, or Danger Girl and Dinosaur, Red Dinosaur, which is super cute. African-American girl lead, her sidekick is a little dinosaur. And they sent it out to the people who are a part of this inner circle monthly culture club.
That is the dopeness. And so then for those of you who are like, more, I want to give away more. looking at you, Jennifer Hudson.
Yes, you can do this one.
The final level is $200 per month. And what that's going to get you, everything else that we've already named off. But you're also going to get free registration for Max Fun Con. And we're going to be at Max Fun Con West and East, respectively.
They're splitting us up, y'all. I'm holding down the West Coast.
And I'm getting the East Coast, getting all up in it.
Yes.
So we're really hoping that y'all can find a level that works for you.
It's so true. There are, whatever your budget is, if you're enjoying this podcast right now, just dig deep into your hearts and figure out if you have the means to pledge $5 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month, $35 a month, whatever you can handle. And you get those awesome bonuses. You always get our content.
Always. That's already in there.
That is already in there.
And for those of you who are like, I don't know if I can do that $5 or the $10 or $25 or $35 or $5, $10 or $20 or $35, I would say rewind this episode because that sounds like a limiting belief to me. And I think that you actually probably could. You know, think about that. $5, that's like what? Like, I think in the entire year, that's what? Like $60?
$60. Something like that, yeah. That's like a nice blouse.
And you know what the great thing... You can, so you might not get a nice blouse, but
you don't like my nice blouse.
I don't know. I wasn't ready for that. But it goes to like, you know, helping great podcasts like this one and the entire Maximum Fun community. A little bit goes such a long way and really helps us to be able to do what it is that we do.
It's so true.
So if y'all are ready, this is it. This is it. You are ready. The first step is if you're ready to donate, you're going to go to maxfun.org and then you're going to click donate.
Once you've clicked donate, you're going to see a list of membership levels for you to choose from, starting with the $5 per month all the way up to the $200 per month.
And then take out that sexy credit card that you've got and then enter in your basic information. It's not basic like, you know, basic, but the information, it's simple.
Simple information.
Fill it in, and press enter, and you're all set.
And then once you are a member, do not forget to check the box saying that you listen to Minority Corner, because you do. You're doing it right now. Also, answer the questions about your listening habits. This way, Maximum Fund will know how to distribute the donor funds amongst all of us nice, wonderful, awesome podcasts on the network.
Absolutely. And then that's it. You don't need to do anything else. It just will renew automatically each year, each month. And there's no need to do anything else unless your credit card information changes. Then you want to make sure that you update that. Or if you sadly decide to cancel. But we're in the upswing of things. And if anything, yes, you're probably going to be like, I'm going to upgrade myself. So you can do that.
It's true. So this is our very last pledge episode and our very last pledge break. James, we did it.
You should probably do it now. Just, Aneke said it a million times. Just press pause right now. I know how y'all, it's Friday. Y'all are going to forget. This is the last day of the Maximum Fun Drive. So you actually cannot wait. You've got to do this now. I cannot, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. You got to do it now. Gotta do it now.
Right. This is it. We release our episodes every Friday, so we just happen to be falling on the end of the road, y'all.
It's like we are the Maximum Fun finale.
Yes. So remember, there are levels for everybody. It is Friday night. You're probably listening to this right before you're going to work, if not whatever. And you're probably going out tonight and you're thinking about getting a drink. If you get a $5 drink once per month, you're living a good life. So that is like the first level. Just to remind you.
Just a little reminder.
There's $10, $20, all of that.
Yeah, I can easily get involved in the community. And you'll be supporting Maximum Fun, the whole Maximum Fun family, and Minority Corner as well. You're just helping us all be the stars that we are.
We are in our stardust. We love you guys so much. We really do.
Thank you so much
for all your support and listening.
And thank you so much for helping us be so have such a great Maximum Fun Drive. Really appreciate it. And thanks for keeping all these wonderful podcasts going.
It's the end of the road. It's the end of our episode.
End of the episode as we know it. End of the episode as we know it.
And the pledge drive
is done. All right. So I wanted to tell Aneke, did you hear?
Okay, what is this? No. Maybe? I don't know.
I just love it when I always start it off with Aneke.
I know.
Can I just, there is no Quizlet Corner this week, but can I will quiz you on this. True or
what's that?
True or false? Chrissy Yamaguchi.
yes.
Chrissy Yamaguchi tweeted out, so excited for you at Nancy A. Kerrigan. Can't wait to see you grace that ballroom floor. Break a leg. Hashtag dancing with
what
the stars.
What a bitch. That's all I have to say.
Do you think she...
Chrissy Yamaguchi, you are either hella dumb or a bitch. Either way, I love you. It's the best thing ever.
I think that she just is... I think she's dumb.
You don't think that she knew that?
No, because she was there for it. She was like competing with all those ladies around that time. I think
she's a bitch.
Because Chrissy Yamaguchi, she was on Dancing with the Stars. Like, she won like years ago. I think she just didn't notice. I think that is a fucked up thing to like tweet to someone.
That is so fucked up. I loved it. So I literally cackled at my work desk when I saw that. I was just like, ooh. Christy, I see you.
Maybe, you know what? Laughter comedy is the best form of therapy. So maybe she's like, listen, let's have a laugh. Nancy, lighten up. Lighten up, Nancy. Yeah. Because Nancy Kerrigan's not that likable. So she was probably just trying to help Nancy Kerrigan be more likable. So Nancy should have just been like, LOL, bitch, you crazy. That's what she should have done.
I know. I wish she did that. That would have been hella funny.
Yeah.
Ooh, I looked up a factoid that is very interesting to me.
Okay.
Waiting to Exhale came out in 1995.
Yeah, Angela Bassett had a busy year. She did Strange Days, Vampire in Brooklyn, and Waiting to Exhale all in one year.
What is she doing? How did she manage to do Waiting to Exhale and Vampire in Brooklyn?
You know what? I think that explains some of her performance in Vampire in Brooklyn because she had just finished Waiting to Exhale, and that's why she was running around like that, and that's why she was so intense in all of her scenes because she just was so intense. That's why, because she was like, "I'm gonna burn your house." Sorry for that.
It's true. I am going to just visualize. I'm going to break out. I'm going to use Angela Bassett's career in 1995 to help me break out of my cocoon.
There you go. Because
that is some fucking inspiration right. and range.
You could do anything. If Angela Bassett has proven anything, 1995, you can do anything. You can have you really range can. In your life, folks.
Yes.
One last thing before we head out. Just want to let y'all know that today is the live show for the Genuine Max Fun Drive Extravaganza show.
Ooh.
It is closing out the Max Fun Drive. It's going to be live streaming. I think I read somewhere that they're going to be live streaming it from the Grand Canyon. I don't know if that was a joke, but that's...
No. The Grand Canyon is the... If we get 20,000 donors, I believe Jesse Thorne, Aaron Gibson. And I think two other hosts of other podcasts will be riding burros down to the Grand Canyon.
Oh, well, I hope we get burros too. I would love to burro on down the road. No, not an echo.
You can Skype me in on that one.
I'll strap
a MacBook to a burro.
Can't I just FaceTime you? It's a lot less. No, she wants the laptop.
No,
she wants to see
everything. You need to put my ass on on a seat.
On an ass.
Strap it in.
Fair enough.
And I'll pretend I'm there.
Well, I am only going to oblige. I love bread. Okay. all right. Well, that's the show. That's the show, everybody.
Enjoy. We love you.
And you can also follow us on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like she's done. Our neck is done.
We've already asked enough of our listeners.
Well, you also need to follow us on Twitter. And
Minority Corner with a K. And Facebook, like our page.
Corner Kids Playground. There are some great conversations happening. I am just so impressed with that group.
Good.
There was a beautiful dialogue about adoption happening on there. So kudos to everybody who was involved in that conversation.
I love it.
It was civil. It was beautiful. It was constructive. It was wonderful. It brings tears to my eyes.
It's a very, like, we don't normally say this sort of stuff. You know that we're, like, quick to, like, side-eye anybody, but we are genuine in our feelings about the Corner Kids Playground, that it's such a growing, warm atmosphere of support that every time I go in there and look, it's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's the only reason why I go onto Facebook. So, thanks, y'all. All right.
Wait. Review us on iTunes.
Oh, absolutely.
If you feel like it.
Especially because
you feel like you got a good review in you.
Especially because I think all of our reviews disappeared. There's only one on there. I emailed iTunes. I forgot to tell you about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of our reviews disappeared. There are no ratings and no reviews for our show. We're investigating it. So please go and write a review because they're all gone. So
yeah, a positive one.
Great
please,
way to start off like fresh and get rid of that one asshole one that was there. But we love, you know, constructive feedback is always helpful. Just email
it. We take it.
Email it.
Even if it's somebody's telling us that we're two annoying people.
which that's the what they said. They said we were two annoying people. But a lot of people are saying a lot of other wonderful, great other things too.
Beautiful, nice, wonderful things.
Hate is gonna hate, whatever.
So you guys have a good weekend.
Yes. Bye, y'all. Thank you so much. And happy Max Fun Drive.
Yay. Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.